Okay, welcome. My name is Divine. This is episode 29 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. In this podcast, I'm going to be talking about the savings mindset as a rule for financial success. The savings mindset as a rule, as a key to financial success. I mean, the last podcast, I incorrectly said it was episode 29. That was actually episode 28. This is episode 29. So, the thing is, what is savings? Well, we all know what savings is, right? Savings just means you keep a portion of the resources or the income that comes in. So, let's say, for example, you earn $1,000 a month and you're like, okay, I'm going to keep $200. Then that's you saving. First thing I guess I'll say is I always encourage people to pay their tithe. Again, your tithe is 10% of whatever income you get. Again, the Bible says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and then try me. Basically, when you give your tithes, you're essentially provoking God, right? It's one of those principles for financial success. So, to buttress some of the points I'm going to make today about savings, I'm going to draw on a portion of scripture, right? So, many of us remember the part of the Bible about Joseph when he proposed to Pharaoh that, you know what? There's going to be a 7-year period of great wealth in the land of Egypt. And, you know, during that period of great wealth, that Egyptians should, you know, save some portion of their resources in storehouses. And that, you know, if they have that savings, when the 7 years of great famine comes, they'll be better able to handle it. And they did. And because they did, one, they were able to ride out that wave of famine very comfortably. And then two, they were able to take advantage of opportunities that existed. And the thing is, that savings that Egypt built up did not just save the Egyptians. It saved people all over the world at the time. Because the Bible says that people came from all over the world to buy grain from the land of Egypt. So the thing is, many people, I'll talk about a few things in just a few different facets. Many people don't have any savings for retirement. You see, some people, they blow every single income that comes in. One thing that many people don't understand is you very likely cannot work forever. Even if you can work for as long as you possibly can, the thing is, when you hit a certain age, you begin to get tired of going into work for the man every single day, right? So you see, many people, they don't have any savings for retirement. The thing is, in retirement, you don't want to be a burden to society. You don't want to be a burden to your children. Yes, don't get me wrong. Circumstances of life happen. And as a child of God, you should take care of your parents, right? It's one of your responsibilities. But the thing is, as an individual, you're looking at a 30, 35, 40-year career. If you make wise decisions early in that career, you can provide for a comfortable retirement, right? And one other thing I will say is that you should have some months' worth of living expenses in an emergency fund that you don't touch, right? So I usually tell people this, that if you have at least 6 to 12 months' worth of living expenses, you're better able to ride out bad times that may happen, right? Like when COVID happened, you see many people lost their jobs. Many people were furloughed, right? Although, thank God, there's now a big-time labor shortage. So you can pretty much, as long as you can breathe and you can maybe move your arms, you can probably get a job these days. But have an emergency fund that can cater to your living expenses. If something crazy and terrible were to happen in the world, like a big stock market crash, a big recession, COVID, something of that nature. And the thing is, when you save, you're better able to take advantage of opportunities that arise. That is just the truth, right? The thing is, people that had savings during the financial market crisis of 2008, the real estate crisis of 2008, the dot-com bubble that popped in the 2000s, those people were able to make great wealth because they had money to take advantage of the bargains that existed, right? But you see, people, if you don't have any money or you're underwater or you have loans and everything you have to pay, then you're not able to take advantage of those opportunities. Like, for example, one of the richest people in the world, Warren Buffett, He has a cash hoard now of more than $100 billion. The thing is, the economy right now is just flying off the shelves, right? The economy is like seriously overheated. You know, stocks are very speculative. Bitcoin is at extensively high levels. It's almost $60,000 each per Bitcoin, right? You see some companies that have no earnings and they are selling for tens of billions of dollars, right? The thing is, one day, this great party that has been going on for a while is going to stop. When the party goes off, things are going to be put down to very low prices, right? And the people that have savings are able to take advantage of those things. I'm telling you this. One of the core principles I've learned about generating wealth is that most times it's a time of pandemic or a time of when there's blood in the streets. That's where great wealth can be made. I'll give you a good example. Last year, during the heat of the pandemic, everyone was running away from oil companies, right? They were all running away from oil companies. You see like Chevron. I mean, if you check the stock market price of Chevron, Chevron now is almost $110 a share. I remember this very vividly. Last year, there was a time where crude oil was selling for negative prices. I mean, crude oil futures were selling for negative prices. You literally could be paid to take crude oil from somebody, right? We saw gas became cheap. There were many places in the US where gas was selling for like 75 cents a gallon, right? Oklahoma, places like that, right? But a person that had, and then, you know, many people didn't have savings. It was the pandemic. They couldn't work. They were trying to, you know, cut down on their expenses, whatever. But people that had savings, if they had just gone all in on oil, then you could have almost doubled your money, right? I mean, imagine a share going from $65 to, you know, $65, $67 to about $110, right? And then look at oil now. Tell me what part of the U.S. you would go to where oil will be 75 cents a gallon. I can pretty much promise you that's essentially not going to happen. In fact, I remember recently when I went to buy gas at Costco, that's like the cheapest place I found gas. It was like $2.83, right? This was a few weeks ago, right? So the thing is, when things are dirt cheap like that, you can just take advantage of those things. When you have dry powder around you, that dry powder is money, right? And the things you can create lasting wealth, right? Like, for example, again, just on the same point of this Chevron shares, if a person even said, okay, you know what, instead of even buying the shares, let me buy options, call options on the shares of Chevron. And again, you know, all these things are things you should obviously investigate. By the way, none of this is financial advice. I guess I should put that disclaimer, right? But if you bought call options on those Chevron shares, you could have made you probably would have made 4, 5, 6 times your money, right? So again, it's just an example of if you have savings, right? Like the Egyptians, like, I mean, think about it, right? Like Joseph was able to accumulate a lot of wealth, a lot of land for the king of Egypt, right? Because they just had the resources, right? So again, I'm encouraging you, save up money. I'm telling you, you can make lasting wealth fast in times of economic depression, right? So because sometimes what may take you 10 years to achieve from a wealth perspective in the stock market, you can achieve it in the course of a year when there is a great like depression or a great recession, and you take advantage of the opportunities that arise. And one other thing about savings is when you have savings, you're better able to handle tough times, right? So the thing is, many people think that the moment you give your life to Jesus Christ, all your problems are solved, you'll never have tough times in life, yada, yada, yada. To be honest with you, that is not Christianity, right? And that is unfortunately one thing that happens in the world today. Many people preach this brand of Christianity that does not involve troubles. No, even the Bible says that right from the day of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent, they take it by force, right? So you won't be suffering violence if we're not going through tough times, right? But the thing is, when you have savings, you're better able to handle those tough times, right? Hey, I mean, like, God brought famine during the time of Joseph in the land of Egypt. But it doesn't mean that, oh, they had to live in penury. There are some people, there are many people that if they were followed from their jobs now, or they lost their jobs now, they are at risk of being homeless within like a month or two. It shouldn't be that way, right? The thing is, the Christian race occasionally may have some experiences where you're going through tough times, right? One of the best ways to ride out tough times is to have some kind of savings. And one thing I will say that really encourages savings is to pay off your debt, right? The thing is, many people have this debt mindset. They're like, oh, you know, there's good debts, there's bad debts. Don't get me wrong. That's actually a true financial concept. But the thing is, it is much easier to save money. It is much easier to ride out tough times when you have fewer expenses, right? Because if you think about it, it's much easier for a person, let's say a person is, you know, has, you know, saved aggressively, paid off their mortgage, paid off their credit card debt and stuff. And let's say the only amounts they have to pay every month are fixed costs like electricity, water, trash collection, internet and cable, maybe housing authority fees, and that's it, right? That person will be much better able to handle tough financial times or like a recession or whatever than a person that has like a boat payment, a mortgage payment, a car payment, a this payment, a that payment. So I always tell people this. And the thing is, one of the best feelings you can have in life is having that debt-free mindset. Like having that, wow, I don't owe a person a dime. Like if, for example, something bad happens and much money cannot come in this month, I'm going to be able to survive, right? Trust me, you may not realize how great and amazing and awesome that is, but it is pretty great and amazing and awesome. So don't have this debt mindset. Get out of debt. I'm telling you, when you get out of debt, you're able to handle tough times. But you see people, it's almost like they're running in this rat race in life where they keep revolving around one debt or the other, one debt or the other, one debt or the other, one debt or the other. No, your life shouldn't be that way. I'm telling you. Like even a part of the Bible says that the borrower is a slave, is a servant to the lender. Don't be a slave. Don't be a servant. Pay off your debt, right? And the thing is, don't go into new debt if you can avoid it. You see many people, the moment they get a job that pays them like a little money, boom, they splurge, buy a McMansion and all those things. No, that's not the way life is supposed to be. You need to be prudent financially. And one other thing I will say about savings is, don't spend money on frivolous things. When you're buying things, ask yourself, is this thing a need or is it a want, right? If something is a want, don't buy it. If something is a need, buy it, right? If you need something, if you can literally not move forward without having something, then you should go ahead and purchase that thing, right? But again, the thing is, many of us, we need to be financially wise, right? In fact, many times I tell people this, before you make a purchase, ask yourself, do you have something currently that can meet that need, that can do just as good a job as what you're seeking to buy? If you have something that can do a decent job at that thing already, why buy it? Why buy it? If you have a car right now that runs really well, that is good on gas, doesn't have mechanical problems, then what are you going for looking for a new car when you just bought a car like 2 years ago? That is not financially wise. I'm telling you this. That is not financially wise. Why take on a new car note when you are debt-free on your car? Again, this is just common sense. This is wisdom. But many people don't apply it. And the final thing I'll say about savings is try to plug holes, right, that are draining your resources, right? Try to plug holes that are draining your resources. What are some things that you currently participate in that you don't need? Right, so you see some people, they have like subscriptions to some of these entertainment programs, but they watch those things maybe like once a month, once every 2 months, once every 3 months. If that's the case, cut those things off. You may think that, oh, $10 a month is nothing, right? But $10 a month times 12 months is $120, times 10 years is $1,200, times 50 years is $6,000, right? That $6,000, you may say, oh, it's just $6,000, divine, not a big deal. No. If you take that $6,000, put it in the stock market and give it 50 years, that thing could be like hundreds of thousands of dollars at the end of 50 years, right? So don't forget about the power of compound interest. That's why, again, you want to plug holes. You don't want to be wasting money. If you keep all these principles in mind, you'll have a good savings mindset. And again, you'll be better prepared for the vicissitudes that arise in the process of life. So again, you know, many of you listen to this podcast as I conclude. Many of you listen to this podcast, you know, I'm a Christian. One of the greatest things that has happened in my life is giving my life to Christ. That is one of the decisions that completely changed my life. So if you want to give your life to Christ, if you want to start a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll encourage you to say this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I confess I'm a sinner and I need your forgiveness. I forsake all my sins. I repent of all my sins. I believe that you shed your blood and died on the cross to save me, and you rose again on the third day. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Write my name in the book of life. Give me a brand new beginning. Sanctify me with your blood. Fill me with your spirit. And give me the grace to do your will all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you just said that prayer, congratulations. You're a child of God. I will encourage you, find the Bible. A good place to start is the book of John, right? You'll learn about the love of God. Find the Bible, do what it says, right? Because faith without works is dead, right? Find the Bible, do what it says, and your life will start heading in the right direction. And then a second thing I'll say is find a Bible-believing church. There is nothing like seeking community with other believers. Find a Bible-believing church, plug yourself in. Again, look at what I said, Bible-believing. There are many churches that are not Bible-believing. There are many churches that preach things that are not consistent with the Word of God. Personally, for me, I attend the Redeemed Christian Church of God. There is probably a branch near you somewhere. But again, I'm not saying you even have to do that. But find a Bible-believing church, seek community with other believers, do the will of God, you know. And I'm telling you, you will have a full life. I've never regretted making that decision of salvation, of seeking salvation in Christ. That is one of the things that has turned my life around. So thank you for listening to me. I will see you in the next podcast, episode 30. God bless you. Thank you.